You know what time it is. Welcome to Great Table Talk. Four childhood friends coming together to make a difference in our everyday community. Enjoy this week's episode. Welcome to Great Table Talk. It's Cash.
Hey, it's Ree.
Hey, Ree, hey. And the fellas.
What's up? What's up?
Hey, it's good.
Okay, well, we got the YBS family. I'm glad that they are on cue again.
Yeah, we on it. Y'all, my second week.
Y'all getting much better with this. So, listen, today's the hot topic came up. I was reading some articles, and one of these videos popped up. It was a gospel artist. I'm not quite sure what her name is.
It says Njai. Njai. She's from East Africa.
Y'all got the video?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, and, I mean, y'all can just go ahead and play.
And the purpose of
I can't really answer that without, you know, the
vision. Well, I'm gonna explain it to you. This is why, since he's being messy, I can't. Because he really just wants to see this.
I'm just saying.
He just want to see this visual.
I need to understand the topic, guys. I'm answering.
So the hot topic is she was singing on stage. Right. I think she was singing a gospel song.
She was performing a gospel song, but her attire wasn't traditional. Attire of a gospel artist, I guess you should say. She basically had on was described in the article as booty shorts, and she was performing a gospel song.
So, what's your take on that? Well, Sheree, you seem really bothered by that.
No, I'm just saying, like, you asked what's my take on that.
So, what's everyone? What's your take?
You know, Coming to America is my favorite movie, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, the pastor said the Lord made it. The Lord made it. So what everybody upset about?
I'm gonna be careful on my answer with this one.
Hey,
people tuning in on that.
She did have some cheeks out the bottom. I mean, you can see the pictures on ReePhone.
Well, like I said,
don't say on ReePhone like that.
You pulled the article up. Oh my gosh! Like it's a screensaver. Like no, Ree, I know.
On my phone. No, but I mean. What was the song about?
Please, I don't know.
I know what the song was about.
I don't know, but she was praising him.
I'm seriously asking this question. Ultimately, the goal is to draw people to Christ. Did she accomplish that?
She saved some souls, I'm sure.
No, I don't think that's what she
mean,
was doing.
It's a couple people that's ready to go to church.
Huh? Yeah, that she probably chucked some souls.
If you look at it like that, I mean, they're trying to get the people to come through the doors, right?
I think there's a, you know, respect level. I mean,
like I said, well, see, that's why I say people never satisfied in situations and relationships. A woman is trying to get people through the door. You know what I'm saying? If you get them through the door, Pastor probably told you it don't matter how you get them to come. Well, just get them to come.
Go ahead, Pat.
I mean, you clowning, but I think it's kind of, I think it's inappropriate in that. I mean, there's a place and time for all of that, and, you know, I just think that's kind of disrespectful. You know, that's just totally.
I'm going to be able to be that guy.
He's that guy.
You know why it's disrespectful? Because you know if that was you at church, you can't look. Because you scared your wife gonna bat you over the head with that Bible.
Well, that's true too. But no, I'm just saying, like I said, this is just a time and a place for all that, you know. And that ain't the place. That wasn't the place.
But if she's okay, now given the fact, I don't know if she's a gospel artist, but let's just say she's a secular artist.
That's what it says in the article.
She's a gospel artist.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Is that because of what she had on? Is because that because of how it made you feel? Like I think that part's on you. If you feel uncomfortable by her dress, why you? What are you thinking about, Pat? Because if you concentrating on the message of that song, you should have no worries about what she got.
If I'm here, I'm going to the church, and I'm focused on whatever I'm focused on. Why I'm going to church, and I'm gonna look at this, and I'm gonna be like, man, that chick wrong for that. You know, that's just the state of mind that I'm in. Because people go to church to clear their mind of whatever they got going on, or to praise the Lord. You know. Whatever is going on outside, they're not here for that today. And for that to come across my face, I'm going to be like, man,
right.
You're tripping.
Right.
I ain't coming for all this.
I mean, okay, listen, in all fairness, even if you're going to a job interview, you're not going to go on a job interview with jeans and a t-shirt. It's a time and place. Right attire. Yeah. So, yeah,
she got
for that.
Job. She got a job already.
I can't even. Moving on to the hot topic. I wanted to discuss.
There's a question on the
Okay, hold on 1 second. We got a question.
Hello, good evening. My name is Paige. To comment on the hot topic, a lot of people go to church because they have a lot of, you know, change, you know. Sometimes some people have problems with lust, and if she's like a gospel artist portraying her Christianity, if she's going up on stage, that person that may be in an audience right. that's trying to get, like, you know,
right. yeah.
The change broken right. from, like, lust, but they're looking at a lustful, you know, image. Yeah. It's like they're struggling.
Baby.
Don't do that.
If that man is suffering from lust, I wouldn't care if that woman was wearing a potato sack. He's still thinking the same thing.
You have a point.
However,
he does have a point.
No, yes, they are. Like, he has a point. If a man but looks at a woman as a sexual thing, it doesn't matter what you, like, it may make it easier for him visually,
but the thing,
but it don't change where his mindset is at.
I mean, that's a point. Go ahead.
And you don't know what that person's triggers are either. I'm just saying, like, maybe just going off of what she was saying, that if that man is there because he, you know, is seeking deliverance from something, from lust, and women dressing in that manner is a trigger for him.
Then Deacon, come pray with me. And it's still getting people to come towards the Lord.
I think as the gospel artist, if she's already... My thing is, if you're in a place where you are a gospel artist and you are saying that you know the Lord, you want to bring people to him, and you want to, you know, help people grow, then you should be at a place where, and present yourself in a way that you're not a new, it's not like she's walking off, you know, out off the street and saying, okay, I'm coming to church, I'm coming as I am.
Yeah.
Like,
what I mean?
At what level, you know, you had to grow at some point.
No.
Yes. So you think you don't think believers have to grow?
No, I'm not saying I don't think believers have to grow. I'm saying, why, since I became a believer, do I need to be stripped of my individuality? If I want to wear booty shorts while I perform, who is that? Like, they came to see me.
See,
listen,
like, that's a David Ruffin moment. Like, they came to see me.
They ain't come to see you,
Otis. Because I was in.
They ain't come to see you, Otis.
Come to see you.
It's an indication. That is an indication. He needs change in his life.
Yeah. Hashtag more.
He needs change.
Well, that's what he did. He needs.
You are one of those guys. You are that deacon talking about, tell sister so and so don't wear that dress to church no more, because you can't keep your eyes off of.
I mean,
why don't you get yourself together?
No,
y'all don't listen to him.
Tell your wife to put that dress on, so you got to stop looking at sister so and so in her dress.
Don't listen to him.
Need help, my.
Yeah, he does. We're gonna pray for you right after this podcast.
I'm gonna give y'all some real truth here.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our main topic today. Which kind of goes into, I want to discuss faith, hope, and love in regards to your Christianity or your beliefs or your moral code or compass. Recently, it's been going on since the beginning of the time that ministers, teachers, leaders have been scrutinized for the way that they sell hope. Okay, so I want to discuss on the idea of selling hope. What is selling hope? And why are we so judgmental when someone is doing something?
I'm gonna go ahead and tag this thing first. Then the selling hope part is just that's frustration. Like, a lot of people feel like, especially with black people, like, we've been sold hope our entire life. Like, when's somebody going to actually come in and deliver on a promise or, you know, produce a cause? Because people have the stage to do it. I think about celebrities, and you think about things like that happened in Flint. Like, you can't tell me that these same artists that rally around France or whoever couldn't throw together some kind of concert with no need for promotion, no need for nothing, like, just show up and donate all that money to fix a problem. But the world don't work like that. And even, like, say with church, like, you're gonna keep getting told that it's gonna get better tomorrow. Like, people get tired of hearing it's gonna get better tomorrow. They want to figure out how to fix it today.
So is that to say that we shouldn't have hope?
No, you gotta have hope, because that's the only thing that you're gonna be able to use to persevere. But hope can't be the meat of the situation. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you got to give, like, real like a real fine-tuned answer in a destination. Like, the promised land is an invisible thing if you don't really have any concrete foundation for it or direction towards it. You're just kind of, you know, going through the motions. Like, okay. That's the frustration.
Well, you're right. We as a people have been sold hope for quite some time. But I do believe that it's important for our teachers to teach hope, to preach hope, to continue to encourage, you know, a healthy life and hope and faith.
Yeah. I mean, you need that, but you also need the other lessons, because you think about us in our age group and how many things we learned in our 30s that we should have known when we were kids, teenagers.
Facts.
Because that, you know, the information is not there. That's why, like I said, and these adults, these pastors, these teachers, like, they knew these things, yet they didn't share that knowledge, they didn't share that information with you.
We're not generalizing. I mean, you know, there are some good ones out there.
They're awesome. I just wish that they were more that focused on, you know, trying to build us collectively instead of, you know, concentrating so hard on their individual messages.
That's a good point. So the unity you saying wasn't there?
There is no unity. Like, we don't want to step out and say, once we become successful at whatever our pitch is, you say whether it be religion or hope or, you know, motivation or whatever, like, we hold on to those people like tangible money. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want my followers or my believers to be listening to what so-and-so is saying, because he may take it from me. Like, yeah. that's real life.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, like, everybody's trying to fleece their congregation yet not giving back. It's sad that you have mega churches that don't have community programs in these communities in which they live in. I mean, that's horrible.
Because they don't live in those communities.
Well,
they live outside.
You know what I think the problem is? The whole problem is that there is no unity. Like, a lot of people talk about, they just want to talk about it and talk about hope. We hope that something is going to change, or, you know, we all need to stick together. But if there's no effort in unity, then there's nothing going to come out of it. But, like, let's just say, like, with the YBS, me and Brandon, we talked about this like a year ago, and we had a vision about bringing our community together, bringing our black professionals in business together and promoting them. Well, here we are a year later. A lot of people have been seeing us and following us and loving what we're doing. So now all these people that didn't believe believe in hope, now they want to be a part of something.
Right.
We're creating a movement. We're creating a movement. So it means there's action being taken place. So now people are saying, you know what? I think this can work. But that's not happening worldwide on a national scale. And that's why, you know, we're talking about this question, and like, it's not believable. But it all starts with unity, and then you start the unity, and everybody say, look what we doing.
Yeah.
And it's believable because we are a powerful culture. So with us coming together and showing and proving in action, people are starting to jump on board and that's
important.
It's tough because, you know, you have a vision. You want people to believe in your vision, support your vision. And some people are so hesitant until they start to see some things.
Right, right.
Instead of, you know, believing in the person,
right,
believing in what the goal is. If it's something positive around me, you know, I'm going to try to support it as much as I can.
Right.
And not question it. And I think a lot of times people, and it may be because of their lack of drive,
that's good right there.
They see someone else who is more driven.
Right.
I always tell people, look, the hours of the day are going to pass. Mm-hmm. So either you do something with them or you're not.
Yep.
So don't get upset with the next person because, you know, or try to block them because they're doing something positive. You know, either support, learn from each other, you know. I think, and just like you said, with the whole concept of selling hope, you know, it's a lot of action that does need to take place. I mean, I'm not you know, there are people that's out there suffering, and the most that you can tell them is, I'll pray for you. Like, yeah, I will, but let's see how we can help you, you know, in this situation. Let's see what we can do. And a lot of times that does not happen.
Right. You gotta stay away from people that like, not even necessarily say stay away. You might have your closest homeboy or your closest friend. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just say you and Kashelle, y'all been friends for years or whatever, y'all have a business together. She may not understand what exactly you doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna say she's hating on you, but she just don't understand what the hell you doing or what you trying to accomplish. But you gotta stick and stick and move on what you believe on. And then when you create that movement, and people are going to start gravitating toward whatever it is they see in you and what they believe in what you're doing. People want to be a part of that.
Want to be a part of it. You're right. And here's the thing. Oftentimes people like to be a part of something that's popular and popping. You got what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? You say something pretty wild or do something pretty wild, everyone want to gravitate and connect themselves to your greatness, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's why you have a lot of the mega churches that grow bigger and get all this funding and all this backing, because they built a big following. Mm-hmm. You know, mega churches was doing it way before social media was doing it. You get what I'm saying?
But
so
I mean, but you say the differentiation is just saying, you know, hope and real substance and things, because what we want to do or what we're doing with YBS is like that's that substance, that's that thing that's saying, like, we ain't just telling you to believe, we're saying, like, this is the model. Mm-hmm. Support each other, buy from each other, see where your money goes, see that you can simply, if you are one of those people that question what you can do to empower us as a people, use your money wisely. Like, like me being able to sit down with a person and tell them that saving your money or being wise about your purchases makes us better as a whole, because your buying power increases our nation's buying power. Like, we've got to be about making each other better. Like, there's no room for hate in what we do, because it's all encompassing.
Okay.
And we don't want nothing from you.
And like,
we're here to help you.
And you're right. And guess what? I want to get back onto the main topic, but it's important that if we want to tell people this and give them that display, we have to be willing to teach them step by step what it is. So here's the question about, let's move from hope to faith. Do you believe, when people say they have faith, and I hear some people like, I have faith, but I'm not a Christian. I've heard people say this. I have faith, but I'm not a believer. Do you think that you can have faith I'm switching.
You're talking about faith, a believer in God?
Just when I've heard somebody say, I have faith and I believe, but I'm not a Christian.
But you're not a Christian.
Yeah. Do you think that's, I mean...
Ooh, I don't like talking about religion, but...
But I mean, this is what I heard. I kind of was taken aback when I heard...
...of faith, and that's the definition that I go by.
Say what now?
What faith means, mm-hmm. The definition of it. But people, you can have faith in something. A lot of people have faith in things that, you know, they use the word faith and say, okay, well, I have faith that, you know, this is going to happen, or I have faith that's going to happen, or I believe in this... this entity or that one or, mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. You know, people just want something to hold on to.
People hallucinate,
you know,
too.
People, you know, they're trip, you know. So I think people do say those statements, and they believe those statements. I just have my personal belief, and that's what faith means to me.
Right.
And so be it. Yeah.
To me, faith without, and I think this is a quote in the Bible, and I'm far from a Christian.
But I hear where you're going.
I'm a believer. I am a believer. But faith without work doesn't exist. It's impossible.
Which ties
But you
back
can
in.
Talk and say, God got my back and God gonna do this. I believe. God ain't tell you that. Y'all better leave. Y'all listen.
No, go ahead. No, let him finish this.
Oh,
let him finish this. Go ahead.
Y'all better stop bothering God if you ain't ready.
Oh, that's facts.
Straight up. Leave God alone if you ain't ready for whatever it is you're asking for.
But I talk to him on a daily basis, so I ain't bothering, but I'm just like, I've communed. So, Brandon, because this is why I really wanted to discuss this. I'm bringing you up. Go ahead.
You can have faith and you cannot be a believer. You can, all of that. Like, faith is one of those things that I don't, that's universal. I don't think it's just tied to religion. Like, so your faith is self-confidence, is just belief and purpose. Because you can have a purpose that's higher than all of that.
And why do we like to even talk about older faith that doesn't tie into religion? I'm not a religious person at all. Go to work.
And purpose don't really have, like, if you are handed a task at your job and you know you're going to do well at it, you would be thinking, like, you got faith that you're going to do a good job. That ain't got nothing to do with Jesus.
You know, true. Okay, I want to state this for the record. I am personally so sick and tired of people who were, like, born and raised in a church. Mm-hmm. Then they get, like, 30, 40, and then all of a sudden they don't believe in, you know, God no more.
No, I mean, like, you question things differently.
That's a clown.
As an adult than you do as a kid. Like, I refuse to be in a position to think that I would dedicate myself to a God that's going to burn me in hell. Like, that was my greatest question as a child.
Right. So, but let me just tell you something.
I just can't.
If you can't explain why the wind blows from, is it the east, from the east to the west? Something like that. And why it rises and set the way it does, and how you almost got into an accident, but you didn't, you know, that miraculously, you know what I'm saying? You can't believe in miracles, but yet not believe in a God. Like, I don't choose. Believe in Allah, you can believe in Jehovah, however you choose to name him.
That's not one of them things, though.
Relationship.
Yeah, and like, that's religion. Different. That's different.
You know, right. Having a relationship with God.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like, different. I believe having a relationship with God is the first and foremost important thing in my personal life. Yeah. I'm not a religious person by any stretch of the imagination. Yes, I'm not a religious person at all.
Check this out.
You have a question? A comment? What's the comment? Hold on. What's the comment?
Okay, so one of the viewers are saying, faith is the ability to rely on your judgment and experience to achieve your desired outcome spite of your circumstances.
That's pretty good.
I agree.
That's pretty awesome.
I agree.
I don't know who that was.
And I totally agree.
Yeah.
So what were you saying about?
I was about to say something.
Because, again, we keep tying into religion into your relationship with God.
Yeah, so the relationship and what else? It was the relationship.
Religion.
Your religion. Yeah. So in my family household, I always was the one. My parents, that boy don't go to church. You ain't going to see Patrick in church. Yeah, boy, that ain't, he ain't going to nobody church. My kids, and I'm not the person that go to church every Sunday. It's not that I don't believe in God. I don't think I'm wrong in my mind. I don't think I'm wrong at all. But my thing is, I do personally have a relationship with God. And I feel like from where I come from to where I'm at now, is nobody else. But my faith, my work ethics in God took me to this place to
absolutely
where I'm at right now, to be blessed as far as I am right now. I know a lot of people that go to church every Sunday, the same people that talk about me every day about how I'm a heathen or this and that and don't go to church.
Facts.
Why are you at where you at and where I'm at where I'm
facts
at?
Facts.
Can somebody answer that question?
Facts.
And now, facts. I'm not saying that I'm a saint in all of this, but I do have my belief. I have my personal relationship with God.
Your personal relationship with God is super important. I just personally don't understand how someone can not have faith and belief in something greater than themselves.
Yeah.
I just,
no, everybody has,
you know, I know people right now like, oh, well, I don't believe in God. I don't, you know,
yeah,
if you
want
to, you're knocking somebody else. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
However, I know some brothers from the Nation of Islam that are very, very structured. They are very positive brothers. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen a lot of them that came from prison and have become very, very productive citizens, you know, of mm-hmm. this country. However, I respect the Nation of Islam. I mean, I respect them brothers. Them brothers mm-hmm. are, you know, but they got some issues too.
But what
I'm trying to say is, overall, I'm talking about the structure.
But that's a religion.
Yeah, it's a religion.
But even, like, their foundation, and you say how dope. I always say, like, the autobiography of Malcolm X was the book that changed my life as a kid. Like, mm-hmm. after I read that, I was never the same. And, I mean, I'm not a Muslim by any stretch of the imagination. I don't even, like not at all. But their belief and their philosophy is one of those things that I do fundamentally believe in, and that's important. It's a lot of us that go to church that have no real concept of what they actually believe in. If you actually had mm-hmm. to tell them what your faith is, break down your belief system, they can't, because all they do is go sit down in church.
And it was taught to go to church. Exactly. It was forced to go to church.
The dope thing about Muslims and stuff like that is that they teach you to research your history, know where things come from. And the problem that people have with Christians is that they just they continue to spout off the things that they've heard over and over again. Mm-hmm. And if you ask them a question, they can't answer you because they don't know.
Well,
but that, you know, that comes in studying. And
exactly. And that comes with studying.
And another discrepancy we have in our community is that a lot of people say, oh, it's Sunday, I'm going to church to serve the Lord. You got it backwards. Because that is where you go to worship.
Right.
Commune with God. Your service is outside of the house.
And to these churchgoers on my left and my right. Because this is my personal belief. I think most people go to church out of superstition. If I don't go to church, I'm going to have a bad week. If I don't go to church, God's going to punish me. If
you
don't go
tie.
To church, I'm not going. Exactly. No. It ain't got nothing to do with wanting to serve God. It's a fear of God that's making people
go
to church.
First of all,
your service is when we talked about that outreach a few moments ago. When we talked about helping others, when we talked about teaching, that is our service. When we know something, when we know things and we pass it on to others. When you talked about, you know, how to teach people how to balance their money better and be better stewards of their money, that is what service is. That is our job outside of the house.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. No, I do not fellowship because of I don't want my week to be bad. 1 second about the comment. I don't want – that's not how this Christian does it. You get what I'm saying? But
How did you get baptized, though? Because I remember how I got baptized.
Well, I mean, I was 10 years old.
I was at a revival, and I kept listening to this man say, if you don't get saved, you're going to burn in hell. If you don't get saved.
Yeah, I didn't like the methods. Some of those methods. Yeah, I agree.
How many people got baptized because of that?
Tons.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Tons. Hold on. We have a comment.
Well, personally for me, I grew up in a church, but under the covering of my parents and my grandfather, you know, they put me on game about how the church is ran. And, you know, they also pushed me towards reading the scriptures for myself. But even in the New Testament, the disciples were raised to say, they taught the followers of Christ that the church is only for a place of fellowship with your brothers. And what you do outside the church, that's your real walk with Christ. You know, that's your actions. That's what you believe in, you know, and how you handle an everyday situation. And they also told you not to worship man-made things. The church is a man-made place. You know,
it symbolizes
God, the divinity between man and God. You know what I'm saying? And it's one of those things people commonly get confused. And, you know, that's why a lot of people get scared of coming to church, because there's those that, like you said, Brandon, that like if you don't go to church, you're going to hell, and like you're a heathen if you don't go to church every day. No, some people, you know, receive the word in different ways. Like I know personally, we don't go to church every Sunday, but you know, I still have my personal relationship with God. And a lot of people don't understand that, even adults nowadays, they don't understand that, listen, even though I go to church every Sunday, it doesn't mean that Monday through Friday and Saturday, you know, I don't need to talk to God. A lot of people need to know that you need to have a personal connection with God outside of church.
That's right. I agree. Yep. That's a really
good
one.
Real.
Okay, yeah. That's a really good one.
That's how I see it.
That's it.
So that having a personal relationship with something, with God, someone that's bigger than me, that can order my steps, even in my imperfection and missing it. You got what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A man can't point at me and tell me I'm going to hell because I may cuss. No. Or I'm going to hell because I may drink.
But they use it. They use it.
Shame on them. But that goes with having that personal relationship, you know.
As long as you don't use your faith as a crutch, because a lot of us do that too. we go to church every Sunday so we can say God gonna fix it, and we don't do enough to fix it in our own lives. Like, our lives are in our hands. Like, too many of us are waiting for God to pull those puppet strings when he gave you the power to do it already. Like, that's in you.
That's why I say,
the message.
He will do it, he gives us the tools.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I tell people this all the time. You know, they tell me, oh yeah, because I've been praying about this job. Okay, when did you complete your application?
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, yes, you can pray all day.
Absolutely.
Faith without
works is dead.
You gotta do the work. So
right.
Fill out the application.
You better have some confidence about yourself too.
Right. To wrap this up, it's important for each and every one of us to have a greater belief in something greater than ourselves. You get what I'm saying? Because if we don't believe in something greater than ourselves, we kind of like the walking dead, if that makes any sense. Because if I'm only depending on you as my brother to lift me up, I'm always going to be less than enough or running on empty, if that makes any sense. You get what I'm saying? Relationships are important. So, go ahead.
Oh, and I was just about to touch on one more thing about, you know, people in God and asking God for these blessings and stuff. If you, like I say, if you don't have no faith and you ain't got no confidence in yourself, see, the thing is, like, with me, I always walk around like I know I can do whatever I say I'm going to do. And I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do, too. Eventually, it's going to work. Mm-hmm. Now, if you follow what I just said, like, I know, so basically, I'm saying I'm confident in myself, so I know that whatever I put my mind to, I can do it. Can't nobody around me, can't no hater, can't none of y'all at this table tell me that I can't do it. Now, along my journey of trying to accomplish that goal, that's when God going to get to doing his work and saying, you know what, I see this guy, he's working hard, he deserves it.
Yeah,
and that's the spiritual thing that I deal with God. I have a personal relationship with God, saying, right. Listen, God, I know you see me putting everything on the line.
Right.
I'm out here. I'm going to make this thing happen. And then when it blossoms, that's when I say, man, it ain't nothing but God. I don't go to church every Sunday.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. My relationship.
And I'm drinking Remy right
now. But I believe this. I believe first thing when you wake up in the morning, you need to take that time out and establish that communication with him. You know, some call it meditation. Some call it, you know, just having some quiet time. I think it's important.
Yeah.
When you get clarity, you can move throughout your day with so much power.
And that's right. Why I said, like, I'm probably the polar opposite of Pat on that thing. Like, I don't even see a place in myself to ask God for anything, period. Like,
there's a place in what?
To ever ask for anything. Like, it's so many people suffering in the world that it would be so selfish on my part to be asking for something. Like, that's my basic fundamental.
But that's
problem.
Not your own relationship with Christ.
But
no, I mean,
but
with,
what I'm saying is that just like say fundamentally, we say we're all praying for certain things, and then when we get it, we say, "Oh, God made it happen." What that got on the flip side of that, the other side of that coin is that he's letting other people suffer. If he's going to take the time to give you something that you wanted, he's letting other people suffer.
Let me just tell you this. You have some people. You have some people that. That here's the thing, as big of a believer as I may be, right, I get in my car and I press my pedal to the metal 90 miles an hour and I run into a pole, and I believe in God. I'm a Christian. Yes, there's laws that God is not going to. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's keep it real. We say, okay, well, God, I ain't gonna ask God for. Yeah, I ask God for quite a bit. But my relationship with him, you get what I'm saying? But I get that. But it's like we say, okay, well, he got people getting, you know, these kids getting shot in school, and he have babies dying or whatever. But guess what? I mean, the more you have a relationship with Christ, the more he would give you wisdom to certain things.
But think about that though.
Pat
said just now.
Any questions on the
phone? He don't go to church that often. He drinking Remy right now. And if something happened, you give God the glory. How many kids right now that are in horrible situations in their home that are praying to Jesus and God every night and are not being delivered? But Pat got his car.
Okay. Well, I'm glad
they might not be being delivered at that
right.
second.
It's,
but you, so you never timetable is not no. that,
absolutely.
It's all timing.
God's
it's timing.
Absolutely, Shireen.
And that goes
awfully convenient thing.
But it
that goes back to saying, man, look, stop bothering God if you ain't ready.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But here's the thing.
It ain't your time.
Sometimes, you know, there are, like we said, babies that are die innocent, you know,
you
people that die. But here's the God's overall plan. God's overall plan is for you to have a better relationship with Him. So guess what? If God has to remove some stuff from you or allow some stuff, some discomfort to come in to get your attention, that's what He's going to do.
Because if everything came easy, and it does happen for some people,
it's unfair stuff that happens. Some unfair things happen. You get what I'm saying?
I know that I am the person that I am now, and I know that I will grow into even being a better person just through things that happen. I'm not saying that, you know, I want, you know, bad things to happen all the time, but the person I was at 26 to now, it's some things happened in that time frame that made me who I am now.
Right.
So that's where the lessons came in. Some tough, you know, lessons came in.
Right.
But they've been learned. And not just for me. I can run into somebody in the store that could be going through the exact same thing that I went through in the past and be able to tell them, hey, look, there's a way out of this.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, there is. So, you know, and just like you say, you have to prepare for what you're asking for. You have to prepare.
But even if you don't.
I can't say, oh God, please, you know, I need a financial breakthrough, and I don't know how to balance a checkbook, or I don't understand money, or anything like that. Like, I have to start preparing myself
But let's not even talk about stuff. It's not stuff. Because I'm just trying to tell you.
I'm just saying, like, it's an example of it.
Right. But there's a scripture that says, you know, and I'm going to paraphrase this because I don't know exact verbatim, but it says, I would rather your body perish than for you to lose your soul. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sometimes God designed things in our life and removed stuff in our life that we may think is cruel, and I can't believe that He did that, overall for you to get the whole overall point.
Message,
you get to get the message. Your timing, somebody's timing may not be God's timing, but when God's timing arrives, you just have to be ready. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's important. So whatever happens to me is not going to happen without God allowing it. Oh, hold on one second. Question.
You know, that also comes with a lot of maturity, you know. As you grow older, you should be able to develop that that sense enough to look at things at different perspectives and different points of views. And a lot of times people get stuck in, you know, the trials and tribulations that they may be going through at the time, but not understanding that it's all for a reason, it's all for a cause. And that's where your faith comes in, and that's where the hope comes in, that you're going to continue to push and persevere through that situation, you know? Because God does everything for a reason, honestly. But not, God doesn't just be like, some people just be like, oh, my shoe tied, God did it for a reason. No, God does things for a reason to refine you as a character, you know? Everybody
refine
has a purpose, you know?
Right.
A lot of people die, a lot of people, you know, pass away, but that's all for a purpose, you know. It sometimes
shame on us if we miss that purpose, what the purpose is.
Well, I mean, I get to have a line in that Bible that also says, challenge me, see that I'm real. But anytime you ever question anything about your faith or God or Jesus, like, everybody loses their mind. Like, that's in there too.
Yeah, you're gonna question Him. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
right,
but that's not, like I said, we're not taught that. Like, we're taught,
but if you search the scriptures, you will see that.
Search scriptures where?
We have to search the scriptures.
We have to search the
scriptures. Individuals. See, it's not the minister, it's not the teacher, it's not the, you know, our sister, our brother. It's not their responsibility for us to search the scriptures. You get what I'm saying?
No, I'm just saying in the question of the faith. Like I'm saying, right. People should be allowed to question their faith. Like, they should be allowed. But it doesn't, that's not really how it goes usually. You're usually attacked if you go against anything that people are taught. Or that they have, that their belief system is, you know, set in.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's true, yeah.
Okay, is this a comment from you, or is this a comment on
This is common for me. I'm part of the audience.
I understand you are part of the audience. But I swear, she, Lord have mercy, she asked it so many.
I'm really intrigued by this conversation because, you know, you hear a lot of different perspectives and y'all have your own experiences. But, like, going back to the church, you know, the church is also where you're supposed to be able to come to your brothers and sisters and ask for a helping hand. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes there's not a brother or sister that knows how to pray for themselves. But if I'm coming to you as a leader in that church and I'm telling you all my problems, I expect you to be able to stand in me in the word and, you know, get together and pray for me. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times people don't understand is the spirits that surround us are more mature than what we can potentially say to actually knock down those, you know, trials and
you're going a little deeper. You're going too deep for this particular podcast. But we're going to have my father on an upcoming podcast that's going to, you know, talk about certain things. However, we are the church. The church is not a building. We are the church. So what are you exactly saying?
The church as in where you go to fellowship. You're right. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, I agree. You should be able to go to your brother or your sister and have them pray with you. So what was the question? Did I miss the question?
I was going off of Brandon, what he's saying that,
fundamentally, I think I get what she's trying to say. Fundamentally, I think what I said earlier kind of stands. Like, we go to church kind of to release ourselves for individual responsibility. And it's a place where you can get somebody to hold you up because you're not strong enough. When I think that we need to be taught from young that all things are already in you to conquer whatever's coming. I don't need you to come to church every Sunday to say God's going to conquer it because God gave it to you when he gave you life.
That's true. And he also gave you the wisdom to connect yourself with like-minded individuals that become stronger.
I don't have no problem. Like, that is absolutely it. That's why we are sitting on this panel. That's why it's important. Like, when like-minded people get together and they share their dreams and visions, you're all uplifted. I don't have that problem with the church. What I'm saying is that fundamentally, we are taught to take our problems, take our emotions, and put them on the Lord instead of facing them. And that is the problem that cripples us as people.
Yeah, I can follow that. I can agree with that. That's a great point. Go ahead, brother. Here's the mic. Take it to the mic. I said take it to the mic. Damn it, I said take it to the mic.
How y'all doing tonight? I like this conversation,
I'm doing great, man. How you doing? How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great, right, man. You know, this is me, Rex the Guy, Rex with Reigns. Man, look, it's like, I understand. Great subject. And I feel we'll be at. See, we have to understand that we ourselves are lord and masters of our own life first. And get knowledge of self first. And once you get knowledge of self, you understand that I create my own heaven and hell. I myself and ruler and master of my own life. I can do nothing can't nothing happen to me unless I do something to make that happen. It's called a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. Now, as they say, what you reap is what you sow. So whatever I do positive, I'm gonna reap back positive. And whatever I do negative, I'm gonna reap back negative. You know what I'm saying? And we have to understand that we don't need a bunch of other people to give us self-satisfaction. When we can find it within ourselves. We don't need nobody else to give us the strength to do it, because if we don't have the strength within ourselves, I don't care how much a person push me and drive me and try to tell me I'm great. If I don't believe it within my mind, I'm not gonna be great, because as they say, as a man thinketh it, that he is.
Exactly.
See, that's the law of attraction.
And that's the Bible you just quoted, but go ahead.
No, but I mean,
that's right.
Those things predate the Bible. And that's the crazy thing. Like, we don't like to look past the Bible to get our information, to get our references.
We can look past the Bible. You can, if you can speak Hebrew and all this other stuff, even before stuff that's not even documented in the Bible, listen to me. God has a way to repeat himself through the challenge of time. You get what I'm saying? However far you want to go back, but let's even just go back even to the Bible, recent documentation of the Bible. Okay. Since, you know, King James, let's even go back to the Hebrew, however you choose to go. The fact of the matter is gravity was always gravity. Dude, the fact of the matter is you give, it shall be given unto you. This is
no,
fact.
No, we concepts, can, though.
Think, the concept think about, has always been there.
But think about a concept like this, though, that God is not sitting up there manipulating every aspect of your life.
Of course not.
He created you. But right. we act like that. Right. We act like God right. is involved in every single aspect of our life.
And he has permissive will.
Right.
But that doesn't mean he's into every part of your life. And I think that's the part that people have a problem with.
So if he created you, you trying to tell me he's not into every part of your life? If he created you, he created you.
See, that's...
You created your children, but you're not going to be over them their entire life dictating them what they do and don't do.
Let's specify.
When we try to say that God is in control of every aspect of our life...
I didn't say he's in control.
Not control, but is a part of every aspect of our life. It's true, but also we also have to understand that, yeah, he is in it because he is God. He has something to do with everything. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, if... We have to also understand that he gave us dominion over our lives. That's where the self-will comes at. You see, that's what made us greater than the angels, because he gave us the one thing, the will to choose if we want to follow what his laws are or we don't want to follow what his laws are. You know what I'm saying? That's that freedom of choice that he gave us. And that's what makes us great, because, and that's what also at times makes us self-destruct. Because he gave us that power of free will, that power of choice. See, that word choice is a very powerful thing.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful thing. And as long as we have an understanding and know what that we have that power of choice, man, we have dominion over our whole lives. As long as we keep that focus that we have that choice.
So since you are your own God, your own Lord of your heavens and your hells.
No, it's not. You're not saying that.
Because you got some people that I'm just not. Listen to me. I'm not attacking you. I'm just giving you an alternate way of how I personally have heard this from certain people. You get what I'm saying? Does that mean that you don't believe in something greater than yourself?
Oh yes, I believe in the Most High. Because check this out. See that table? That table right there that y'all leaning on right there, God is in that. See, God is the invisible attributes of things that are seen. See, this is the thing. God gave man and helped man develop the technology and develop the intuition and gave man the imagination to create a table. Remember, Jesus was a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus created tables. Uh-oh. See, what God did
Jesus
is
God, you heard me.
God showed us through Jesus that just as he's showing, I made him a carpenter. And what carpenters do? He create things. And everything that a carpenter creates is create with time and with beauty. And just as in our lives, all this, the grade A table talk, came with time, came with beauty. And I look how beautiful it is. YBS, Handsome Mothers, all that was through time and beauty.
So
what you got to understand is God is in everything, but we have to have the open mind to understand that when God is in everything, we can do everything.
And I think, Brandon, you made a great point. Even though I had my kids, once I instill and put certain things into them, I have to entrust that they were moving like that. And whatever they include me in when they grow up, you know, and get old and do that, that's what they include in. You get what I'm saying? The same thing with the relationship with Christ. Whatever you include God in, that's what he's going to be involved with.
But that's what, but fundamentally, like I said, that's the problem, because you're not really getting taught that when you go to church. They're not telling you things like that. They're teaching you in a manner is that Jesus is everywhere. God's everywhere. He's watching everything. Well, if he's watching everything, then he sees the good and he sees the bad.
Of course.
So again, if he sees the good and he sees the bad and he allows it to happen, stop telling me that I've got to find a way to understand that.
Listen to me.
But see, as
a parent, I sit and allow some things to happen with my kids because it's for their overall good.
Are you going to let them get enslaved?
Listen to me.
Are you going to let somebody take them from you and enslave them?
Listen to me.
Once we expect perfection on earth, we mess up.
Absolutely.
And that goes back to what it is. We, as the Christian, have to continue to find ways to allow it to be okay for the things to happen.
Listen to me. So what are you saying? Your God allowed... So
no,
I'm trying to say...
My God, like, this is my thing.
Because on one hand, we want to be judgmental of Christians, but on the other hand, what are these non-believers doing to make sure that the world isn't the way it is? Y'all are
I'm a person that just speaks solely on self-responsibility. Like, instead of leaving it up to anybody, you take that upon yourself.
You can, but you mean to tell me you don't personally believe in something greater than yourself?
I never said that.
I'm asking you.
Yes, I believe I was created. So I've got to believe that I was created by something or somebody.
Okay, so.
But I do not live my life talking about he's going to make something happen for me because he gave me life.
You have to make it happen.
Exactly.
But at the same token, you have to give reference to that very same thing that gave you life.
I'm giving reference to that by my actions. If I love the people that are around me, if I support the people around me, how am I not giving him reverence?
Okay.
So my life is
reverence to him. My life is reverence to my creation. Everything that I do that's good in this world is reverence to honoring my creation.
The good and bad, right?
Right.
I mean,
the good and bad, right?
We're
the good and bad, yes.
Everything.
Okay.
But that's not me saying I'm somebody's creator.
But here's the thing. We cannot say I'm giving reverence to the things that I do because, you know, my creator created me, so everything that I do, I'm giving reverence to him, good and bad, but yet we want to turn around the God that you serve, he's allowing all these bad things to happen.
But if you're giving reference
to your God, with how you live, good and bad, and he allowed that, your God,
who
you reverence every day and things that you do, allow you to do bad.
Obviously he does.
Okay.
If he allows rape, if he allows
so does
murder,
that does that still
he
that he's not
hunger and fasting,
but he's still God, right?
What can I say against that?
That's what I'm trying to say. I just want to make sure
that
we agree.
It don't mean that I got to go along with the system because that's the way it's laid
it
out.
It ain't a system. It's your creator. It's your creator. I'm talking about your personal creator.
I'm telling you, like, anybody that believes that their God will send them to hell or do these things, that's not my God. You serve another God because that's not my God.
Well, I'm talking about your God. Listen to me. I'm talking about your God. I'm talking about your personal God. Your personal God is with you when you do good and when you do bad. Your personal God is with you when you move around and do what you do through a day. I'm talking about your personal God.
He's with me every step of the way.
Whether you're doing good or bad, correct?
That's it.
But yet we want to sit with you in your stance. You can sit and talk about somebody else, how they worship their God and how their God allows bad to happen. When you just stated your God is with you when you have done bad.
Because I don't have a belief system that tells me my God is out here dictating what happens. We are in control. Kashella is in control. Brandon is in control. God is not out there dictating what you can and can't do. That's your free will.
I can agree to that. I can agree to that.
That's all I'm saying.
But I just heard you earlier. You were saying that, God allowed, you know, he let that happen.
What I'm saying to you is that's how you get taught in church. You're saying that there's all this suffering in the world, and that's just God's way. God's saying, wait. I mean, you take this back, whatever. I do not care. You mean to tell me that your God is saying that you can be enslaved, you can still be mistreated till this day, and it's just you waiting on him in his perfect time? Like, when is he going to get upset? When is he not going to be upset no more?
That's the whole thing.
We got to wrap this up.
Let me get into this. See, this is what God does. God creates opportunity, and it's on you to see the opportunity. See, this is where your eyes have to be open, you have to be woke, to see and recognize every opportunity in your life. You know what I'm saying? God will give you an opportunity, but it's on you. There is no fear. God is not fear, but it's powerful and mighty. See, God is if God is not fear, then we should not have, if God created us in his image, that means no fear should be within us. Now check this out. For us to allow somebody to enslave us because we allowed ourselves to be fearful of that person that tried to save us. Because like dude said, Killmonger said, dog, I'd rather bury me in the sea with my ancestors. Then that's some real stuff, though. Right. At least they knew it was better to die than to be in bondage, to live in bondage.
And those people that killed themselves, and they say suicide is one of those things. Are those people going to hell?
You have to change the narrative because I understand what you're saying.
But see, this wasn't suicide, what they did. They felt like, well, I'm going to try my best to swim to land. They didn't jump trying to kill themselves. They jumped. I believe that they didn't jump trying to commit suicide. They jumped trying to save themselves.
I'd rather
take my risk in fighting for my freedom and dying free than to be live enslaved and in bondage. And that's the chance that they took. Oh, well, they died. But who knows? Somebody probably lived.
Mm-hmm.
One of our ancestors probably lived and made it to shore. We don't know that. But we know that they took that chance. I'd rather jump off this ship and fight for my survival and be free and deal with the elements than for to let these people have fear and let these people just live there and enslave me and keep me in bondage. And see, that's the thing about it. God gives us opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Those people seen the opportunity to get out of bondage, and you know what they did? They went with it.
Yeah.
They went with it.
But
and that's what we need to do.
Yeah, but that's
in
why,
our lives.
Like I say, why you say what people
to the,
get
to the
frustrated
slaves of our situations
about people selling hope. Like that's why people get frustrated with selling hope. Like you get tired. Like for some people, they can live their whole life waiting and praying on the rapture. But for other people, they don't have time for that. Like yeah. they would rather be out there trying to accomplish yeah. something rather than yeah. waiting.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. I agree with that one. All the way.
I mean, and there's nowhere where it says you're supposed to just. A lot of people think waiting means sitting still and doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting on God, that doesn't mean you're not moving.
That's
and you're not,
the fate without work.
Not, mm-hmm. You're not studying, you're not preparing, like I was saying earlier. You're waiting on Him for, you know, that next step and that guidance, but at the same time, you're also preparing for whatever that next step is.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah. How many, like I said, don't even answer this out loud. How many people do y'all know like that? Or do most of the people y'all know just get up and go to church every Sunday and then they come back to their regular lives?
It happens like an older generation.
That's
we
the
do.
Older
we know
generation.
Them. Yeah,
that's
we
the
know
the
older generation.
Generation.
Right. Well, let's wrap up this podcast. We have to continue this another time. I love this heated debate, this heated
right.
fellowship. So
right.
Until next time.
Are we announcing the next podcast subject?
What is yeah, you go ahead and announce the next podcast subject.
Oh, it's going to be a nice one. We're going to have to bring our attorneys in here and
yeah.
talk a little bit about child support.
Child support. Chuss up. Chuss up. So we're going to work with getting an attorney on panel so we can try
that
to discuss this child support in detail. But it's your girl Cash.
It's Ree.
Brandon.
YBS.
See you later. Bye.